Hello, welcome back to another episode of ABA Mom. I'm your host, Allie, a BCBA and mom of five. Today, I am so excited to welcome our special guest, Brittany Duguay, who is in New Hampshire and is a board-certified behavior analyst and IFBB Bikini Pro, founder of Better Habits by Britt. She has a unique passion for combining the science of ABA with health and fitness coaching, helping individuals create sustainable habits that transform their lives. In addition to her work, she also is an author of a children's book, If God Were Made of Sparkles. She brings such a dynamic perspective to the table, bridging behavior science, personal growth, and even professional bodybuilding. So we can't wait for her to dive into her journey. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, of course. So Brittany, can you just share a little bit about your journey and what inspired you to become a BCBA and IFBB Bikini Pro? Because
so I have been a BCBA for close to 9 years now, and I have been in the fitness industry much longer than that, about 15 years, which makes me feel like I'm really old saying that out loud. But I first discovered bodybuilding when I was in my very early 20s, and it was just something that became very passionate for me. Like, social media wasn't really a thing. I didn't even have social media when I first started competing, but it was that first thing that I found that was like my hobby. It was my passion project, and it was just a big part of my life. And I actually stumbled into ABA like many of us do. And, you know, I went to grad school and I was working in the field, and I kind of was living these two different lives between competing and having that being my passion and also behavior science and working in the field. So I have been competing for a very long time. And over the past couple years, I can't remember, I think it was like maybe 3 years ago, I got my pro card in the bodybuilding world, which is basically, you know, you have to win a regional show, like one of the smaller shows, and then you go to a bigger national show and you compete against like all the best people in the country. And if you get a top placing, you win pro status. So I was able to do that. Yeah. And the bikini, funny enough, I actually haven't competed since because I've had a lot of other passion projects that have popped up.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that piece. I think that that is so interesting because for me, it's like, you know, I'm just like, will I make it to the gym today? I think we're on two different levels as far as that's concerned. So, but I think you bring a very interesting piece. And so how did your background in applied behavior analysis lead you to create this Better Habits by Britt?
Yeah. So like I mentioned earlier, I had been living kind of two different worlds. Like I had my fitness world, which was just like, you know, I worked out, I ate really well. I had all my systems and everything that worked really well for me, on top of being a mom and things like that, right? It kind of taught me like that discipline. But at the same time, I lived in behavior science. So I never really intentionally put the two of them together. But back when COVID happened and the world kind of shut down, I had been doing like a little bit of fitness coaching here and there for some women who would approach me and be like, hey, can you help me with my diet? Or hey, can you help me with, you know, my workouts, all that stuff. And when COVID happened and everything was shut down, schools were not open. And it was a fun opportunity for me to say, hey, like, I might be able to make a business out of this and actually do some fitness coaching. I stopped very quickly into that because I got so frustrated when people couldn't stick to a plan. Because, and it wasn't that I was like, what is wrong with these people, right? It's not. But I was just like, I could do it so easily. It was so easy for me. And I was in the bodybuilding world, and people who are in that world often already have the prerequisite skills that they need in order to follow a plan. And so I stopped. I put it down. I was like, this isn't for me. I'm just going to be a BCBA, work in the schools, do all the things, until it just kept coming back up. People kept approaching me and And I'm like, okay, apparently this is not leaving me. And I had this aha moment one day where I was like, what am I doing? This is behavior change. This is literally behavior change. These are all skills that people can learn. Like, discipline is a skill that people can learn, and learning how to be consistent, learning how to get back on track, they're all behaviors that we can learn and change and shape. So that's what led me to create the Better Habits program, where we're doing fitness and nutrition and workouts and all of that stuff, right? And we're learning those things. But at its core, it is a behavior change program, because if you can't learn how to manage your schedule, and if you are stressed and you have multiple responsibilities, like multiple children, and you're working and you're trying to keep your house clean, a lot of times that fitness is going to be really low on our priority list. And we need to learn how to manage everything else so that we can access that.
Yeah, I think that's really important too. And that's where I personally struggle as a mom. It's just like, okay, because I know it's important, like my health, my fitness is important, but it's always on the back burner because I'm like, I have all these other responsibilities. So it's like, it's always on the back. So I think what you're doing is amazing. And I love how you're putting your passions and like applied behavior analysis because you're absolutely right. It is behavior change. That's exactly what you're doing. So I think it's incredible. So, what challenges do you face balancing your career in ABA with the world of professional fitness competitions? I know you said you're doing a lot less competitions now because you have a lot more passion projects. So, what does that balance look like?
Yeah, so even though I'm not competing, I am still very active in my own life. So I'm still bodybuilding, quote unquote, right? I'm still living the lifestyle, but with a little bit less intensity, right? I'm not doing 2 hours of cardio a day. I'm not, being super strict to eating just plain chicken breast for 5 meals a day. So there is a little bit more balance as far as my lifestyle in terms of living a healthy, fit lifestyle. But it can be really challenging at times because I do have a daughter. I am working. I have 3 dogs. It gets really
Oh
crazy.
my gosh, 3?
3 dogs. Yep. We have a 12-year-old dog and who's like a senior with arthritis. And we have 2 puppies under one, which is just, it's chaos.
Oh my
But
goodness.
it can be challenging. So I find that I have to stay really organized with myself and, setting goals and, maintaining my schedule and prioritizing my self-care. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to manage everything else on my plate.
Yeah, I think it's important too. And it's like, that saying of like putting your oxygen mask on first, like taking care of yourself before you can take care of others. So, it's hard, like, because I'm like, I've got to make something for dinner. And sometimes I'm like, I don't know. Like, I just, like, my daughter asked me this morning, she goes, "What's for dinner tonight?" Like at 7 a.m. And I'm like, I have no
That's a great
idea. Like, I
question.
didn't meal plan today. It's Friday. I have no idea. So, like, what kind of like tips or like advice would you give for something like that?
Yeah. So I always tell people that there are a million different ways to get healthy, right? There's so many different ways. There's honestly too much information out there that it becomes like analysis paralysis. And you're like, what the heck am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to eat carbs or am I not? So it gets really tricky. But I always tell people the best thing that you're going to find is the thing that you can stick to. It needs to be doable. It needs to be repeatable. It needs to be something that you can access on your busiest days because we can make this ideal. I'm going to meal prep every single day and everything's going to have a fresh vegetable in it. And it's just not realistic. And then we're setting ourselves up for failure. And then instead of doing the next best thing, often times where we're reaching for the easiest thing. So the fast food or the pizza rolls or whatever it is that's going to make our kids happy and just going to meet the need in the moment, but it doesn't necessarily align with your long-term health and fitness goals. So what I like to do is I like to have my clients identify, okay, what are some easy things that you can keep in the freezer, right? That maybe you have your ideal dinner plan, right? You're going to make healthy tacos and homemade tortillas and all of the things, right? But that doesn't happen because life happens. But we happen to have some really good options in the freezer. So I always am like, okay, steam bags, freezer bags, things like that, teaching them how to bulk meal prep so that we can do some proactive antecedent strategies and set ourselves up for success when life inevitably happens.
Yeah, no, I think that's great too. And I like what you said too, is kind of like, it's definitely not a one size fits all, and you're gonna do whatever you can do, like consistently, and then just, not setting yourself up for failure. Because if you just have this idea, like, I'm gonna just change this and I'm gonna do this thing, I'm gonna make, homemade, I think you said like homemade tortillas, and
I don't
that's
have
probably not gonna happen, especially if that's something you've never done before. So I like that the way you address that, and then just having something kind of on. Like a plan B, like having something already in the freezer. Like, this is how, we can make this. So I really like what you said there. How can you apply the principles of ABA to fitness coaching? Can you give some real life examples of shaping, or reinforcing in the gym?
Yeah, for sure. So, in terms of shaping for the gym, because it's going to look a little bit differently for everybody depending on kind of what they have going on, right? Like, if we're limited on time, people's experience with exercising. So, for example, if I have a client that's never stepped foot in a gym, I'm probably not going to set them up with a gym-based workout, right? Because there's a lot of layers there in terms of like, comfortability in the gym and confidence. And really, we want to eliminate as many barriers as possible. So making it truly, truly easy that very first step easy for the client. So we might start just with a step goal. We might start with incorporating home workouts if that's something that is, you know, fits in with somebody's day. I even have clients where I am assigning play-based workouts because they literally have no time to themselves. So we are adding in workouts with your kids. That is fun for the child and fun for mom. It gets your heart rate up really quickly.
I love that.
And it's just, and it's meaningful, right? Because then we add in mom guilt, and that's a whole other thing. So it's really figuring out what is the easiest thing that you're going to be able to start doing. And then how do we take that and build on it? So then maybe it's okay, we do this. We start out with 2 times a week, and we're going to build on that. Can we either make the session longer, or can we add another session? And really analyzing the whole person, right? The whole, just like we do with ABA and kids, it's doing it the same thing for the parent, the mom, right? Because a lot of the women that I work with are moms, and looking at their life and what is going to make sense for even an end goal for what we're shaping toward.
Right. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And I love that you're including the kids too. So I would definitely be on board with that. I think that is the biggest struggle too, is like what you mentioned, like the mom guilt of like, you know, I have to do this thing for myself, but then I'm leaving my kids and I'm missing out on this quality time with my children because now I'm going to go like to the gym or whatever and I have to leave them. So I love that you're including them in that. And honestly, that helps them with a healthier lifestyle too. So I think that's super important.
Exactly.
So a lot of people, like overall, including myself, struggle with consistency. So what, and honestly, like the motivation, like I usually, you know, I think a lot of people start out and they're like, you know, I'm hitting the gym, I'm going, especially like when January 1st comes, they're like, okay, great. Like I'm my New Year's resolution, I'm starting out, and they start out really well. But then just over time, they just kind of fade out and they're like, they go back to some of those old habits. So what kind of strategies do you do to maintain some of those healthier habits?
Yeah. So I find that with a lot of clients, we have a, especially, you know, depending on your age, you may have quite the experience with fad diets or your relationship with food and exercising and, you know, weight loss, all of those sort of things. Anytime that we start something new, our motivation is going to be really high, and not necessarily motivation in terms of how we would talk about it behavior analytically, right? But a lot of people view motivation as an emotion. And so I do a lot of work with teaching my clients that motivation is not the emotion, right? Like we can't always expect to have a certain emotion in order to do an action. So really trying to build on that momentum, but also really teaching the skills of being resilient when life happens, because it's not always just about being motivated, right? It's like, oh, I don't feel like going to the gym today. Sometimes those days happen, but more often than not, it's because there's other barriers that come up. So then identify, okay, if you're not going to go to the gym, which is, you know, your ideal situation, what is the next best thing that you can do? And also helping them to understand their own data, right? Where it's, if you miss the gym 2 times this week, that's okay. We're going to use those resiliency skills to get back into it. But then we look at, okay, over time, how often are you getting to the gym versus how often are you skipping? And then identifying what is causing that to, you know, that opportunity to skip. And if it is really just a motivation thing, maybe we need to change it up. Maybe we need to change up the environment. Maybe we need to change up the time of day that you're going. Maybe we need to change up what you're wearing. Some of the littlest things can make the biggest difference in how we are able to show up for ourselves.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I think it's just, you know, changing that mindset, because I know, you know, sometimes it's like, okay, I didn't go to the gym, but then I missed 2 days, and then it's 3 days, and then it's 4 days, and then it's 5. And then you're just kind of like, and then you stop going like altogether. Yeah. So I feel like it's usually kind of slow. And what I've seen with myself and with others too, is just like, it usually starts out. And then I think, you know, one of the biggest things when I was going to the gym, so it's going to definitely motivate me to go back to the gym and be consistent, but it's just like, when you get there, it's getting there. So when I'm there, I'm great. Like, I'm good. I'm already here. I'm in the parking lot. I'm going to go inside. But like getting there, like sometimes just like leaving my house to get there is a struggle. Yeah. Yeah. But I like that you said that, okay, so maybe we're not going to the gym today, but like what's kind of the next best thing? Like what's a secondary thing that you could do? So I like that there's options, because I don't know that everyone always gives themselves that second option too.
Yeah, 100%. Even like, I've had work with some clients who are like, well, I can only get there for 20 minutes. And it's like, okay, but if you got there for 20 minutes 3 times this week, that's an hour across your week versus if you didn't go at all, you got in 0 minutes. So just really kind of using those opportunities where it's, reframing that all or nothing. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. It has to be consistency over time.
No, I think that's a really great point too. It's just like, because sometimes you're like, well, is it even worth it to go those 20 minutes, because then I have to, clean myself up, I have to go to work and all of that kind of stuff. Like, is it even worth it? But you're absolutely right. Like, it's totally worth whatever time because anything's better than zero. So that's a really great point too. Do you find that your clients respond differently when you use like behavior analytic language versus like the everyday coaching language?
Yeah, so part of my program is I actually have a course, which is a 24 module course with these little bite-sized videos that kind of talks about in frames and user-friendly terms what we're looking at when we're talking about reinforcement. What are we looking at when we're talking about shaping and using behavioral momentum and just kind of understanding their own contingencies. So when I do meet with clients one-on-one, ideally they've watched, some of those videos and kind of have some of that background knowledge. But I find that, especially being in the field, and it's just sort of like the way that we think, right? That sometimes people are like, oh my goodness, that blew my mind. And I'm like, really? Did it really blow your mind? Because we're just living in it. But it's really, I always am surprised by that. But I think it's really cool that, when we frame things to people, they're like, it just made so much sense to me when we talked about it that way. And then they can start to actually see their own patterns.
I think that's a really great point too. And then when you can make it relatable, and there's things that, I feel, as BCBAs, we think about all the time, and it's just like, okay, like that makes sense because now it's really ingrained in us. And then we use it, and there's like, oh, like it's an aha moment for someone else. And we're like, oh, okay, I get it now. So I
Even
love
with like
that.
my dogs, and my husband will do something. I'm like, what are you doing? You just reinforced that. You're supposed to, things like that. And he's like, oh, I should have known about that. I feel like the husbands at this point are, they understand the behavior analytic language.
Yeah, I know. I know. My husband gets so frustrated with me when I do that. I'm like, you just reinforce that behavior. He's like, I know, I know. So what else is really interesting is that you're also a children's author. Like, I don't, you have, I mean, you're so motivated. It's incredible. So can you tell me a little bit about your book, If God Were Made of Sparkles? I love that title, by the way. And what inspired you to write it?
Yeah, so I like to have my hands in a lot of different pots. I like to be, I think it's just the ADHD in me. I get a little bit bored and I do a thing and then I do it and then it's done and then I move on to the next thing. So the way that that book came to life was really interesting because I had never been intending on writing a children's book. And I recently, like, really solid in my faith. I started going to church. I found a church community and I've just been walking in my faith much more deeply the past couple of years. And the way that that book actually came to me was I was about to fall asleep at night one night and I got the idea that just popped in my head and I sat up in bed. It struck me like lightning. I sat up in bed and I like smacked my husband who was sleeping and I was like, I'm writing a children's book and it's going to be called If God Were Made of Sparkles. And he was like, okay, cool. I'm trying to sleep. And so the next morning I could not do anything until it just poured out of my brain. And then once it was done, I was like, okay, well, that was really strange how that happened. Then I was like, well, I guess I have to publish it. So then I went through the process of self-publishing that. It's the idea behind the book is, for people who do have a faith background, is that God is not something that is a tangible thing that you can see, but he's somebody that lives within inside of you and that kids can learn that. You don't have to see him for him to be there. He is within you and inside of you and shown through your daily actions. So
Yeah, no, I think that's incredible. So what message do you hope that like the children and parents can kind of take away from your story? I love that you shared that too, that God's not tangible. So what kind of message do you hope that they can receive from that?
yeah, I think that, especially with little kids, it's like, well, what do you, like, it's everything is kind of black and white a lot of the times. And helping them just to start exploring their own faith journey and being able to kind of formulate their own connection, their own relationship with God, and for it just, opening a door for parents to be able to start to have that conversation with their kids.
No, I think that's amazing. So I really like how you just kind of said, I just like popped up and it just came to me to write it because I'm gonna tell you, like, almost every idea I have, I just like comes to me like in the middle of the night, and I'm like, am I like, you know? So I think that that's really neat and very like inspiring that you were able to do that. So, and I love how you use your face. So I feel like there's so many elements to you. So you, you know, like you have like your faith base, like you also have like your fitness, your ABA, like you're kind of just combining like all of these things together, which I think is totally like, it's amazing.
Thank you. I'm glad you think that. I feel like I'm all over the place sometimes.
I feel you on that. Actually, so my podcast, when I was like, you know, I was listening to a lot of podcasts and I woke up one night in the middle of the night too. And that's exactly how it came to me too. I said, you know what, I'm just going to start a podcast because what I felt was just, you know, there's a lot of ABA podcasts, which I know we talked a little bit in the beginning before recording today. It's just, there's a lot of ABA podcasts out there. But I feel like sometimes we kind of gatekeep from parents, which is not intentional. I think that, you know, we just have a lot for our field, but it's not always like collaborative with parents and families. So this is like, you know, creating a space where we can just be collaborative and like can speak freely and things like that. So I was also just kind of had that aha, like, I need to just do this. And I started in the middle of the night and I was like, how to create a podcast.
Down a rabbit hole.
Very similar to your story for just like, I'm going to write a children's book.
Yeah.
Which is great. I love it. I love that. So was writing the book like a natural extension of your like ABA work, and how did it come from a completely different part of your life? I know you said it's very faith-based, but do you feel like there's anything like behavior analytical, like kind of in your description, like in your story, kind of describing like the existence of God in your book?
So I feel like the way that it popped up, it felt very supernatural for me. So I can't really explicitly say that the actual book and the story itself has any sort of ABA embedded within it at all. But I will say that I did use my skills in terms of, you know, task analyzing, okay, how do I self-publish a book? Yeah. And then kind of breaking it down in terms of making it come to actual existence. Yeah, the book and the story itself, I would say if it does, it's very unintentional, but the process for sure.
The process, yeah.
Yeah.
Like your own task analysis. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I think it's beautiful. I'll definitely, so everything is included like in our notes too. So, like we'll definitely include your book as well. So I love that. I love the title of it. Like that's one of my favorite things. I was like, ooh, that's so cute. I love that title.
Yeah, thank you. And you know what, the character, so my daughter who's 8, she always tells everybody that my mom wrote a book about me because the character is inspired by her and her little stuffed animal unicorn. And I'm like, actually, the book's about God. It's not about you. You're just the main character. She's like, yeah, my mom wrote a book about me.
No, that's beautiful. So what parallels do you see between the discipline needed for bodybuilding competitions and the science of behavior change?
Yeah, I mean, they are very much entwined. You know, when it comes to preparing for a bodybuilding competition, right, we do have this end goal and a timeline, and there are specific things that need to happen in order for you to reach that goal. So again, really coming up with systems that allow you, because most of people who compete in bodybuilding are not doing it full-time. It's not, they're not getting paid to do it. And if you are, that's a really good for you. That's really great. But most of us are doing it as a hobby, right? So I had to figure out how do I do this around, especially after had my daughter and she was a baby and her sleep schedule was not, you know, great. And figuring out how am I going to do this and function on very little sleep? How am I going to, you know, prepare my meals and also go to work and make sure that my daughter has everything that she needs. So, you know, there was a lot of sacrifice in figuring out what is going to be the most reinforcing. Is it going to be, you know, me sitting down and skipping my cardio and watching TV tonight? Or is it going to be me, you know, showing up as the best version of myself and, you know, utilizing that delayed reinforcement and not, you know, giving in to the temptation of the immediate reinforcement that we would get from the foods that are not on the diet plan and all that sort of stuff. So, but it really did help to systematize things and make it easier. And I was able to identify what antecedent strategies do I need to have in place in order to make this as easy as it possibly could be. And also having some reactive procedures in place where it's like, okay, well, life popped up. What am I going to do in order to still be able to, get in the daily actions that I need to get in?
Yeah. No, I think that's really important. And it's definitely, I think it's just like a lot of self-monitoring behavior and then just like motivation on your end and just always making that choice, because it's so much easier to be like, okay, like it's been a long day. Like I'm just going to sit, like it's my TV time, you know, and I may not be the best person to give this advice, but it is important to, like, if there's something that you need to do is like, so for example, for me, if I have like some work to get done or I have, you know, like my session notes or something like that, that I need to do before I go to bed, like I always make sure that I'm doing it before I watch TV, because I'm like, all right, so I use the first then language with myself. And I'm like, okay, I absolutely have to do this first before I reward myself with this, which I think is really important. And it's hard to juggle that sometimes as a parent, because, you know, it's just like, I think sometimes we're just like, it's been a long day. And I think too, sometimes we always say, you know, sometimes when our kids, like clients have like a hard day, you know, we're like, okay, like lower the demand, which just means just kind of lower the expectations today, like whatever task that it is that you give them. So sometimes we need to do that for ourselves.
Yeah,
it's just absolutely lower, like, you know, today was a tough day, like, you know, whatever that may be. And then we just kind of got to lower some of those expectations. But I like how, but it doesn't mean that it's gone. Right. So we're not going to have those habits.
Yeah.
So I think, so after this, I am definitely, I'm going to start just doing something different with it, because I'm guilty of all the McDonald's. I'm guilty of all of the, you know, like, instead of working out, I'm going to watch TV. I'm very guilty of that. But you definitely have inspired me to start making those changes and changing those habits in my life, because I think we're all capable. It's just hard. Like, it's hard to get started.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's a lot different, right, when you are preparing for a bodybuilding competition, because a lot of times you can't lower the demand. But when you are a person that is trying to just be the healthiest, best version of yourself, lowering the demand is exactly what we do on those harder days, right? Because like you said, it doesn't go away, but maybe we lessen it. Another thing that I utilize a lot, even like, you know, in bodybuilding and also with my clients and just like trying to even now when I'm not competing, is pairing things with reinforcement. If I have to meal prep, I'm putting either fun music on or I'm listening to a podcast or watching something, because I don't get to sit down and watch things very often. So, you know, I'm doing that while I'm washing the dishes. I'm doing it while I'm doing cardio. But, you know, so making things a little bit more fun so that, you know, it lowers that resistance.
I love that too. There is no lowering the demand. How do you personally like stay motivated in your role? Like,
Well, I have learned that because I get really excited about things and I go all in on things. And that's kind of how I've always been. I go all in until the thing is done. And then, you know, eventually I just move on to the next thing. I have learned that I really need to program and rest for myself, and I have to allow myself to rest. That's part of the reason that I did give up bodybuilding recently, or lay it down, put it down for a little while. I don't want to say give it up, is because I have been doing this for a really long time, and eventually it's really hard on the body. It's really hard on the hormones, and my body wasn't responding the same way that it would in previous, you know, competition preps. And that goes the same thing for life too, in terms of like new projects, working, things like that, managing motherhood, and all of the things, right? It's like we have to embed that rest in proactively rather than waiting until, you know, all heck breaks loose and we actually need the rest, right? Something forces us to rest. So rest has been a really, really big part of my journey. And it's not always easy, right? Because oftentimes we feel like if we're not resting, that maybe we're not doing enough, when actually rest is the thing that's going to be able to have you be most effective.
Yeah, that's a great point too. And I've met individuals that go to the gym regularly, and that's always seems to be a struggle too, is finding that time to rest, because they don't want to miss out on like a good workout, and like all of a sudden like they're totally motivated to go to the gym, but the rest is hard, which to me, like, that's the easier part. But it makes sense. Like, you have to. In a lot of fitness programs, they always say to have a rest. Like, this is your rest day. And I think it's very important for your body to be able to reset, but also, like, just in general, like, for self-care, like, you've just got to be able to rest, too. Try to just rest. So I think what you were saying, too, about your daughter and just finding that time is, like, how am I going to do all this and rest and be able to take care of myself. So if you could give one piece of advice for someone trying to build better habits, whether it's fitness or family, career, what would it be?
I would say, you know, one of the biggest things is to really understand your why, right? And like really digging into your values. And this might be bringing in some, you know, ACT for those who are familiar with acceptance and commitment therapy. But really understanding your values and making it values driven rather than goal driven, because goals are, you know, something that can be really tricky because we often focus on the outcome rather than the behavior. So I would say focus on the behavior that is going to take you toward those values, right? Rather than focusing on the outcome, not getting stuck in the scale or the numbers or your output necessarily, but whether or not, you know, you're able to take that daily action and start small. Don't start too big. Take it in little bite-sized pieces, because oftentimes we take on too much and we set our bar too high, and then we don't end up coming into contact with reinforcement. And then that's when we kind of fall off.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So where can people learn more about your work and connect with you?
Yeah, so you can go to my website, which is betterhabitsbybrit.com. I'm very active on Instagram, so betterhabitsbybrit. And I do offer one-to-one coaching in my program. I also have a podcast that I just started, which is kind of fun. It's not an ABA-based podcast, but a friend of mine and I, it's a little bit of entrepreneurship, humor, self-help, all of sort of things. And it's called Boss Babe Behavior. So that's another place that you can find me on Apple and Spotify.
Awesome. I'll definitely have to subscribe to your podcast. I'd love to listen in. So looking ahead, do you have any new projects? I mean, I know you mentioned the podcast, whether in ABA fitness or writing, that you're excited to share?
Well, I am going to be speaking at a ABA con. It's a cruise that is happening. And it's an ABA conference at sea that's happening in February. So that's going to be really fun to go in and speak on behavior analysis and fitness. And just started the podcast. And yeah, that's kind of all I have on the radar right now. But there's something is always going to pop up.
Yeah, I could see that. I think that you'll always have something coming. Yes. So, but that's really neat. So it's ABA Con. So it's a cruise, like an ABA cruise.
Yeah. Yep. So there's going to be a few different speakers. So Matt Chicoria is going to be speaking. Dr. Polly Groves is going to be there speaking. A couple other BCBAs, Kim Heald, Alyssa Johnson. And people are going to be doing different topics, and you can get CEUs on a cruise, which sounds really fun.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Yeah. I just came back from a conference, but it wasn't on a cruise. So now I'm a little jealous. So
I know.
Maybe I'll have to sign up next time, but that's really cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Brittany, it was an absolute pleasure having you on today. Thank you so much for your time, and good luck on all of your fitness journeys. I'm definitely inspired to start. I'm starting today. I'm going to start right now today. I'm going to, you know, make some better choices.
I love that. That's awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Allie.
Yeah, thank you.